time to meet the men from the ministry. We're about to strike more low notes in high places with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, Hilary Pritchard, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. It's a busy life in the General Assistant's office, a constant round of problems, decisions, experiment, and effort. But in the end, there's the feeling of achievement. Something attempted, something done, has earned a night's repose.
Well, too, you've done a good day's work.
Thank you, Juan. I must say it hasn't been easy. Breaking new ground, probing beneath the surface.
Never mind, it was worth it. I've never seen our window boxes looking so neat.
The whole of Whitehall's gone window box mad this year.
Yes, yes.
They've got some remarkable creepers at the Foreign Office.
No doubt the Arts Council will have their usual display of panties.
I believe the Minister of Welsh Affairs has a leak in his window box.
Two, these things that you've planted are lobelia and fuchsia, aren't they?
No. I was going to send off for some of those, but then I found I couldn't spell them, so I ordered tulips.
Oh, I see. Well, you've got some bulbs left over. Perhaps we could plant them in the office.
It would need somewhere very quiet, where they won't be disturbed.
Yeah, well, let's get some earth and plant a few in my inn tray.
And if I take my washing out of the fire bucket, we could put some in there.
Splendid. Now, what about the pots for the hyacinth bulbs?
They need to be out of the light. We'll keep these blue ones behind the curtain.
Good thinking, yes.
I'll put a note for the cleaners in case they move them.
Right.
There we are. We'll be better off behind the curtain. And those red ones can go under the desk.
Well done, well done. Now, is there any more work to do, or should we toddle off home? It's gone 3:30, you know.
Well, there's that top secret job for the Ministry of Defense.
Oh, is there?
You remember, we had to cost that big NATO exercise. But I can't understand the figures.
Then do what we usually do with public money. Think of a number, double it, add 3 noughts, and stamp it agreed.
Good idea.
Excuse me, sir. I thought I should warn you. Sir Gregory's on his way over.
The permanent undersecretary? But we've done nothing wrong this week.
Mind you, it is only Monday.
He rang to ask if you could spare him a couple of minutes.
Did he? He's not normally as civil as that.
Well, he didn't actually quite use them words. What he actually said was, are them two layabouts in?
That sounds more like Sir Gregory.
Mind you, he hasn't bothered us much lately.
Well, he's been off on that fact-finding tour, hasn't he? Studying heavy industry in Capri.
And no doubt with Miss Bentwater from the typing pool to take down everything he said.
Mm. Now they're back, he's given her a fur coat.
Ah, something to keep her warm.
No, something to keep her quiet.
Right, oh. I want a word with you two.
Hello, Sir Gregory.
Have you costed that NATO exercise yet?
We're just putting the finishing touches to it.
Good, good, because you're both to go off on a course.
That's very kind of you, sir. We could do with a rest.
A rest? You don't know what good hard work is.
What good is it?
Now, this course will be different from previous ones. You'll be living in, for a start, at a large country house in Surrey, a place called Surly Manor.
Oh, and what is the purpose of the course, sir?
Well, it's to find bright administrative talent and develop it for leadership.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. And you've recognized our potential, sir?
No, you're the only people with nothing to do, so you're to make up the numbers.
Thank you very much.
Two men dropped out at the last minute. You're a late addition to the course.
You think we'll enjoy it, sir?
I don't know, but I'll enjoy it here. You'll be out of my hair for 7 whole days. Somewhere where you can't possibly do anything wrong.
Oh, look at the time, too. Do you realize we're 7 hours late? That's a splendid start to a leadership course.
Anyone can make a mistake.
I certainly made a mistake. I should never have allowed you to navigate in the first place.
Well, all those maps in the car. How was I to know I was looking at the map of France?
Now, what's round this bend? Ah, a T-junction. Now, which way do we go? Left?
Right.
Right.
No, left. I mean, you were right. What a rude gesture. We didn't ask him to drive into the hedge. I think he called you a roadhog.
Oh, you should have called him a hedgehog. Oh, dear me. Well, now then, wait a minute. This is Oak Lane, yes. And that sign says Surly Hall. Ah, well, we're here at last.
Thank heavens for that. Funny. I thought Sir Gregory said Surly Manor.
Hmm? Oh, well, I expect they use both names. Anyway, we haven't time to check, thanks to your bungling. Right, well, let's go in and see. Now, straighten your tie.
Ready, are we? Everybody seated? Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Surly Hall Health Hydro. My name, by the way, is Hale, and this is my colleague, Mr. Harty. We shall be looking after you and trying to make your stay as beneficial as possible. While you're here, you'll be devoting your time to meditation, contemplation, yoga, rejuvenating exercises, and starvation. I would just ask you not to exercise in the nude on the East Lawn. There's a civil service course next door at Surly Manor, and we wouldn't want them peering at our calisthenics.
Ah, good evening. My name's Lennox Brown, and this is Richard Lamb. We're here for the course.
Oh, yes?
We're sorry we're late, but I took the wrong map, and he took the wrong turning, and he wished he hadn't done it in the first place, and this lorry driver got awfully annoyed just after we'd gone round the bend.
My junior colleague is trying to say that we're a late addition to the course.
Oh, that would explain why your names are not on my list. Oh, obviously, yes. A delay in the post. Yes. Well, not to worry, not to worry. You're very welcome. Very. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you all to be in bed by 8. You have a strenuous day tomorrow.
Shall we get anything to eat? I fancy a nice thick steak.
Oh, well, you won't get one here, I'm afraid. And the evening snack's already been taken. Why don't you try a little yoga before you turn in?
Better than nothing, I suppose. Have you got strawberry flavour?
I'm sorry.
So am I, my dear sir. Hmm? Oh, come along, too. You've made enough trouble for one day. Get to bed like the man said.
I must say, one, this isn't at all what I expected. My room was like a cell, and I had to lie on the floor.
Spend the night on the floor?
It was softer than the bed.
Well, don't forget, they're selecting future leaders. I expect they're assessing character and discipline. A week of this, and we'll be ready for promotion. And extra luncheon vouchers.
It wouldn't be so bad if they gave us a proper breakfast. One piece of bread and butter. And that was as thin as a paper doily.
Oh, don't be dark, too. That was a paper doily. Your breakfast was on the plate. A slice of lemon and a hazelnut.
I thought that was the pattern on the dish.
Ah, good morning, gentlemen. I'd like you to join the others downstairs. We're going to have an hour's contemplation.
Contemplation?
Well, you know the sort of thing, too. Just sitting staring into space, keeping the mind blank.
Oh, well, I suppose it's better than doing nothing.
Actually, Mr. Hale, you'll find we're quite skilled, you know, in the art of contemplation.
But, of course, contemplation has to be augmented by physical effort.
Oh.
Now, I've brought a tight list of exercises you must carry out each day.
Exercise one, the handstand. This looks rather tricky.
Well, it's just standing on the hands with the feet in the air, so the blood rushes to your head. Does marvels for the brain.
What, a head full of foot blood?
Ideally, of course, you should do these exercises in the nude.
Oh, I'd rather not, if you don't mind. Nudity leaves me cold.
We must free the body to free the mind, Mr. Lamb. However, a light garment may be worn. A loincloth will cover your requirements.
Exercise two involves hopping over a rope, I see.
Yes, a lot of people skip that, but I would like you to do it if you can.
Yes.
After your week here, you'll find you're a better person physically and mentally, ready to help and lead your fellow men in the quest for the highest ideals. After our contemplation, we're off on a cross-country run.
I must say, it's a very odd way of training civil servants. Cross-country running, standing on our heads.
That'll be for the next time the government reverses his policy. Well, it's obviously all some trendy new technique.
Well, I'll be glad when we're back in the ministry. I wonder how they're getting on without us.
Yes.
Oh, good morning, Lord Stilton. Do come in, sir. And what can I do for you?
Thank you. I'll have a large one and just a dash of soda. You don't seem very busy, Pitkin.
Yeah, I was just snatching a break, sir. Having a read, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yes. This magazine with a girl on the cover. And no cover on the girl.
Yeah, no. No, sir, of course not. Counting why that's on my desk, possibly my secretary is a funny woman. No, I have been reading that book you lent me, Vipers in Our Bosom.
Oh, yes, the one about spies and defectors in government circles.
That's right, sir. Oh, your drink.
Oh, thank you, thank you. A fascinating book, what? Shows there are traitors everywhere.
Yes.
Let me have the book back as soon as you finish, will you? The PM's very keen to read it.
Yeah, very good, sir. If I get the end by Friday, I'll leave it on my desk here so you can collect it on Monday. I shan't be in till Wednesday. I'm taking a long weekend.
Oh, lucky fella.
Well, a working weekend, of course. I find I work better in the country where I can get some peace. I've just bought this cottage in Sussex, and I take my papers down there.
Oh, very commendable, very commendable.
I may get a girl from the typing pool to come down and handle my memos. There's one who often helps me out when I need it. Hello, Pipkin here.
Sybil Tanner speaking. I'm running a civil service course at Surly Manor.
Ah, you're Miss Tanner from Surly Manor.
You nominated two executives, Lennox Brown and Lamb, as a late addition to the course. We're wondering why they haven't arrived. They were due 2 days ago.
Haven't arrived? Well, that's odd. They left here. I know. I had an extra brandy to celebrate.
Well, perhaps you'd be kind enough to let me know what's happened to them.
Certainly, madam. I'll ring you back. Goodbye. Lennox Brown and Lamb haven't turned up for that course at Surly Manor.
That's strange.
I'd better go along to their office and see if the secretary knows anything.
Yes, well, I'll come with you, Pitkin. We must get to the bottom of this.
I can't understand it at all. Hello, there's no one here.
Well, curiouser and curiouser. I hope they haven't defected to the east, what?
No chance of that, sir. Not Lennox Brown and Lamb.
You're convinced of their loyalty?
No, sir. They haven't got the brains.
Just a minute, Pitkin. There's a note on the table. Good Lord, man. Look at this.
We'll be better off behind the curtain. Good grief, they have defected. They're fleeing behind the iron curtain.
And it seems to be signed, Reds Under the Desk. Oh, they've been quite blatant about it.
I should have guessed, of course. All the signs were there. Lamb wore a Cossack hat last winter.
Oh, Sir Gregory and Lord Stilton.
You're late, Miss Muffin.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sir Gregory. I overslept.
Indeed. You sleep at home as well.
Miss Mervyn, Mr. Lennox Brown and Mr. Lamb have disappeared. They haven't turned up at their course.
Ooh.
That's a very serious matter. What was their attitude like in the last few days before they left?
Yes, were they behaving strangely?
Yes, sir. Everything was just as usual. They were busy with the plans for the NATO exercise.
The NATO exercise? Great heavens, it's worse than I thought.
Oh, they had the NATO plans, and they saw the chance to make a break for
yes.
it. Just like that other pair. The Foreign Office sent them to Paris, and they quietly diverted to Moscow.
You are?
Miss Merton, we have reason to believe that Lamb and Lennox Brown have gone over to the other side.
You mean joined the Young Liberals?
No, damn it, they've defected. Fled behind the Iron Curtain. Oh, be quiet, child. Lord Susan, we must get on to MI5 at once.
I can't take much more of this one. If I don't get a square meal soon, my stomach will forget what to do.
Stop fussing, too. It's just as bad for me.
It isn't. You ate half my lunch when I wasn't looking.
I was merely trying to help. I thought two grapes might be too much for you. By the way, too, I wish you'd been more discreet. Fancy interrupting this afternoon's meditation session like that.
I thought I heard Indian music.
Yes, so you said. Everyone else knew it was my tummy rumbling. Now stop moaning, will you, and switch on the radio. We'll get the news summary.
Oh, all right.
Meanwhile, the search continues for two civil servants who are thought to have defected with vital military secrets. Their names have so far been withheld. But it's feared there's a danger of plans for the forthcoming NATO exercise being leaked to a foreign power. Tight security is being observed on the whole case, and a government spokesman, who refused to give his name, said he had nothing to say. He later declined to confirm this. There'll be more news at 7 o'clock.
Did you hear that, too? Two civil servants have defected.
I wonder who it is.
Just a minute, just a minute. He said they were after the NATO plans. They're the ones in our office, aren't they?
But where did you leave them?
Don't worry, Ron. I put them in the safe next to your plimsolls. They'll be all right there.
They won't be all right there. There's no door on our safe.
That's the point.
Look, we must get back to London at once. First thing tomorrow, we'll get to the office and make sure those plans are still there.
But tomorrow's Saturday, Ron. I don't like going to the office on weekdays. I couldn't go on a Saturday.
This is a national emergency. We haven't any option.
And what about this course?
Oh, hang the course, too. I've had enough of it anyway. Get your things together and we'll creep out under the wire.
Actually, it's quite fun being in the ministry when it's empty, isn't it? There isn't a soul in the place.
That's no excuse for your sliding down the banisters. I wonder you had the energy after our stay at Surly Hall.
I think it's made me more agile, Mum. I've kept that portfolio of exercises Mr. Hale gave me.
You must be a glutton for punishment.
He said they'd make me a different person.
Oh, in that case, keep them up, yeah. Here we are, then. Now, let's hope and pray the native stuff is still in the safe.
Yes, really. It won't take long to find out. Yes, it's here, Ron. Just where I left it.
Thank heavens for that. Now, look, I'll leave a note for Mildred. She can send it to NATO HQ first thing on Monday. Then we shan't have to worry.
Good idea, Ron. Isn't it awful to think there are traitors of the ministry? I wonder who they are.
They penetrate the highest circles, too.
I saw a film where the whole staff in an office were under suspicion. And in the end, it turned out the traitor was the man at the top.
Oh, you mean like Sir Gregory? Huh?
Yes. I say, that's a thought, isn't it? Sir Gregory Pitkin, the spy in black pinstripe.
I say, it couldn't be Sir Gregory, could it?
What?
He acts very strangely sometimes.
And he's been spending more money lately. You remember Splinter Woodcock's retirement present?
Yes.
When they brought the collecting box round, Sir Gregory put in twice what he usually does.
Are you sure, too?
Yes. I saw the tuppence in his hand. Do you think we ought to investigate, then?
You mean go along to Sir Gregory's office and pry around? Take advantage of the fact that he isn't there?
That's right. We could go through his drawers.
Two? That would be a betrayal of trust. Heaven knows what personal stuff we might find. On the other hand, of course, if the national interest demands it, we...
He'd never know, would he?
Come on. Let's go and have a look around.
Yeah.
Bring the paper knife. Some of his drawers might be locked.
Right.
But remember now, we're only doing this from a sense of duty.
My word, man. Gregory really does himself proud, doesn't he? What a splendid office. Four cocktail cabinets, colour TV, and a wall-to-wall desk.
Yes, that divan looks rather comfortable.
I expect that's for Miss Bentwater when she wants to lie down for a bit.
Well, there's nothing incriminating in Sir Gregory's work tray. In fact, there's nothing in his work tray at all. Just a membership card for the Stripperama Club.
Well, look at that book on his desk. Vipers in Our Bosom, Famous Spies of the Civil Service.
Good Lord! He must be interested in that sort of thing, you see.
What?
And just a minute. There's a note sticking out in Sir Gregory's writing.
What does it say?
I've come to the end. This book has given me food for thought. I'm off to the country where I'll find some peace. Good. Grief, too. You see what this means?
Yes, man. Well, I think I do.
The country where I'll find some peace. This country isn't good enough anymore. He's fleeing behind the Iron Curtain.
They said two defectors on the news, didn't they?
No doubt Sir Gregory's taken Daphne Bentwater. One word from him and she'd drop everything.
Do you think we should do something?
Well, of course we must do something. Tell the Home Secretary. Get him on the phone. I'll look round the office for any other incriminating evidence.
I rang the number you gave me, one, but the Home Secretary's away. I left a message on his recording machine.
I'm glad, in a way, the Home Secretary wasn't there.
Really?
Of course, Sir Gregory's wrong to defect, but we can't just throw him to the wolves. We must try and save him from himself. I mean to say, he can't be all bad.
The bits I've seen look pretty awful.
There may still be time to pull him back from the brink. If he hasn't yet fled the country, perhaps we can talk him out of it.
But we don't know where he is. He won't be at his house in Hertfordshire. His wife's office there at weekends.
Now, where's his address book? He's got a cottage somewhere in Sussex. If he's still in Britain, I'll bet he's there. This is it. Look, I'm sure this is it. Look, The Nest, Little Groping, Sussex. Right, let's get down there at once.
Well, What do you think of the cottage, Daphne? Quite a view, eh?
It's a lovely garden, Sir Gregory.
Oh, now, 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 there's no need to call me Sir Gregory here. We're quite alone. You can use my special name.
All right, then. But you are naughty.
Me? Well, I haven't done anything, so far.
You told me to take off my clothes and come out here for a swim. But the swimming pool hasn't been built yet.
Well, no sense in waiting to the last moment. Well, why don't you join me in my double hammock? I had it specially made, you know.
But won't it throw us together?
With a bit of luck, yes. Come along, my dear. Up you get. This way. Ah, that's it. Now, just relax. Enjoy the sunshine.
You know, Bunny, you look quite handsome after a few drinks.
Yeah, I haven't had any drinks, my dear.
No, but I have.
Oh, what a witty little pixie you are, to be sure. Oh, and what a perfect afternoon. You wouldn't think Whitehall existed. The trouble and toil. Lamb and Lennox Brown defecting. All forgotten. Just you and me and the song of the birds.
Oh, isn't that a lark up there?
I do believe it is. And, talking of larks, I've got an idea. Now, why don't
Bunny,
we just sort of...
There are too many in those bushes.
What? Oh, take no notice, my dear. I expect it's the vicar and his friend. They go bird-watching, you know. Daphne, my little locust blossom. If I said you were a wonderful figure, would you hold it against me? You tantalizing minx,
but
let
they
me...
They look like bird-watchers. They're wearing bowler hats and carrying umbrellas. Well, look, now they're running across the lawn.
Don't do it, Sir Gregory. We know what you're planning, and it's wrong.
We've come to save you from yourself.
What? What the devil are you...
Look out, Bunny! The hammer!
Shut up!
Sir Gregory, it's no use hiding in the stinging nettles. We're here to have it out with you.
Lennox Brown, Lamb, you critters, how dare you?
Stay where you are, Sir Gregory.
Ah, oh, you're armed, I suppose. Well, there's no need for violence. No need at all. If you're after secret documents, I've plenty in the cottage.
Why didn't you overpower them, Bunny? You told me you were good at karate.
I don't want to hurt them, my dear. Oh, I know they're traitors, but remember, they were on my staff.
What do you mean, traitors? You're the traitor, Sir Gregory.
We know you're planning to defect. We came to drag you back from the brink.
Is this some devilish trick, Lennox Brown? You're the ones MI5 are looking for. You disappeared with the NATO papers, and now you come here armed to the teeth and threaten me.
Armed? We're not armed, Sir Gregory.
You're not armed? Right, that's different. Daphne, I'm going inside to phone the police. You stay here and guard these men.
But suppose they get violent?
That's a risk you'll have to take. For the sake of the country.
Now, look here, Sir Gregory.
Here's a pitchfork, Daphne. If they look like trying to escape, give them a prod in the national interest.
It was one of the worst experiences of my life, Mildred. We were kept in a police cell for 5 days.
They grilled us continuously to try and break our story.
They stood me against a wall and shone bright lights in my eyes.
Whatever did you do?
A good question. He thought it was more of his amateur theatricals and gave them a chorus of Galway Bay.
The head of MI5 came to see us in person.
Luckily, we were able to convince him we'd gone to that hydro by mistake. In the end, he seemed quite impressed.
Impressed?
Yes, he said it was clear we were complete non-entities. He told us we could go. In fact, he helped us down the front steps.
Well, we'd better get back to normal as quickly as possible. You sent back the plans for the NATO exercises?
Yes, sir. First thing Monday.
Good.
Just a minute, Mildred. You can't have sent back the NATO plans. They're still here in the safe.
I did send them off, Mr. Lamb. They was in a blue folder on your desk. It said exercises on the front.
A blue folder? They were the exercises Mr. Hale gave me, the ones from the health hydro.
What? That rubbish about yoga and loincloths and contemplation? Mildred, you must get it back at once.
It's too late, sir. The NATO exercises begun this morning.
Using the plans in the blue folder. What on earth can the troops be doing?
And here is the news read by John Curl. There were unusual scenes on Salisbury Plain at the start of today's NATO exercise. The Prime Minister took the salute at the opening march past and seemed surprised when the procession was led by the Royal Marines, clad only in boots and loincloth. They were followed by troops from the Royal Scots Guards. These men wore kilts, but broke with tradition by doing handstands in front of the saluting bell. The Women's Royal Army Corps then skipped across the parade ground in the nude. The Prime Minister said he was very impressed, but he was unable to present their commanding officer with a medal as he couldn't find anywhere to pin it.
Were the authorities furious?
Well, oddly enough, they weren't, Mildred. Apparently, the whole exercise did wonders for army recruiting.
And the film of the opening ceremony is making a fortune in the West End. The Ministry of Defence may show a profit this year.
Well, I never. But what I don't understand is why this should happen to Sir Gregory.
It was when we thought he was a spy, you see. We rang the Home Secretary, but he was away. So we left a recorded message.
He heard it when he got back on Tuesday and acted on it immediately, you see.
And poor Sir Gregory Topsy.
He was foolish enough to resist arrest and became extremely abusive.
Evening, all. You can come through and visit the prisoner now. Remember, you've only got 3 minutes.
Thank you, Constable. I think one will be enough.
Here he is. Ugly brute, isn't he? I shouldn't go too near the bars.
Hello, Sir Gregory. We've come to see you again.
I'll leave you now, then.
I can't take much more of this. I've got to get out of here.
Try to relax, Sir Gregory. You've done a beautiful job on that mailbag.
Have you brought it?
Brought what, sir?
The file, man, the file. I asked you to bring me a file.
Oh, the file, yes, I remember that. I brought you this nice, strong cardboard one. It'll keep all your papers in order.
Oh, great, man. Let's put a file.
Muddling through as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham and Hilary Pritchard. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.